Tonight, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Last Wednesday, we looked at the first part of chapter 9. And if you remember, this was the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Right? Jesus Christ himself came before Apostle Paul. He wasn't an apostle when that happened. He was off to Damascus to put some Christians in jail. Something happened in his life that he totally changed and became a great man of God, wrote the church epistles and some other books here. It's quite a record. But there's more here in chapter 9 that we did not read. So let's pick it up in verse 31, and here it kind of closes out this first part of chapter 9. It says, then have the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were what?
Edified.
They were built up and walking in the fear of the Lord, or the reverence. The fear of the Lord is an old English term meaning to have great awe and respect. So they were walking with great awe of what the Lord had done. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. So not only was God adding to the church, but things were multiplying in a big, big way. And with Paul on board, things really took off. So let's see what happens in light of what this we just read here about the word really moving out. Let's see what can happen when that is the case, where people are edified, they're walking with great awe and respect of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass, verse 32, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Ananias. Pardon my pronunciation, I'm not sure if I'm correct on that, but a lot of vowels in that word there, in that name, Ananias, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And there he found a certain man named, and Peter, verse 34. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. I always get a kick out of this record because he's telling them, get up and make your bed. Sounds like my mother, you know, there's got to be something bigger there in light of here. He's been in his bed for, 8 years? Just sick. Now he's making his bed because he's not going to be in it. Pretty neat, huh?
Yeah.
And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, what turns people on is not so much words, but the power of God. The power of God is moving. Things happen. Things happen. In fact, keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, chapter 2. Let's take a look at this. Chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, verse 4. Yes. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? So, boy, when the power of God is operating, people, their eyes are open. They're seeing God move, and their believing rises. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9 here, verse 36. And now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and what? Died. She died. This woman, wonderful woman of God, doing great works for the Lord, died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, so Joppa's on the coast, Lydda, whatever the name of that city is evidently nearby to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. All right. I mean, this has got to be a pretty emotional scene, right? All those people were sad here. This wonderful woman of God did great works. She died. And they remember all the things she did, and their hearts go out. They're weeping. They call for Peter. Peter comes. And what does he do? Verse 40. Peter took them all forth. In other words, he asked them to leave and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, he was dead, right? Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. Wow. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Wow. Now, I don't know how long she was dead, but it takes time to somebody to die, and then people are upset and sad, and then they go get Peter and bring him down. And so some time went by. And yet, look what happened. What a great power of God being demonstrated, that this woman, wonderful woman, she died, yet she got raised from the dead. That's the power of God. Pretty neat, huh? Can that happen today?
Yes.
And it sure can. It sure can. Sure can.
It does.
And does. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. You think there were some happy campers there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You know, the power of God really makes a difference, and people respond to that. And there was great movement of God's word that they believed the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Okay, so next is chapter 10, and we're not going to get into chapter 10, but you might take a look at it. This is going to be interesting because it talks about a centurion, a Roman soldier, that had a great love for God, and God did some really interesting things here, and so I'm looking forward to sharing this next week. When we look at Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Yeah, pretty neat, huh? You see, Book of Acts is a record of the acts of the believers. Different believers walking with God, seeing great results. And this is our example. This is where we can believe. We can rise up in our believing and our expectations to minister healing, to raise somebody from the dead. The door opens. If God gives us the word of knowledge, word of wisdom to do so, We have the power to make that happen. So by reading this, we should be encouraged to know that we can do the same thing. All right? Very good. Okay, well, that's the lesson from the scriptures. And as I mentioned earlier, this is going to be a two-part sharing. And I want to share a little bit about, in light of tomorrow being the 4th of July, something about our country and how blessed we really are. So give me a moment, and I want to play a song for you. Presentation. There we go. And then I want to give you something and share it with you. Okay?
Land. The ground on which we reside, build, grow, and thrive. A commodity in and of itself, an observer of time. And sadly, the body that has carried the battles that have shaped our lives. Land has no say or option to resist or lend its opinion on where it stands. Yet humans take matters in. Freedom costs something, sometimes everything. Won by those who have come before and upheld by those who stand for justice in the face of tyranny. This fight for freedom continues to this day. And it is not a fight to win what is already ours, but to uphold the truth which we know to be true, that all men are created equal. The desire to walk in freedom has been placed in the heart of every human. Since before the dawn of time, we were made to be free to serve the one true God. The broken world we live in has left the heart of man corrupt and misled, where pride is mistaken for power and only the weakly act in love. The fears we face today and may face tomorrow can only be remedied by the love of Jesus. Free indeed, free at last, bought with a price, united we stand.
What was the cross meant for me that my Savior? His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
Amen. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
The dream of this country is something far bigger than I think is even normally appreciated. People came to testify. Come to this land for one reason, so that they may have the freedom to worship God in the manner that they saw fit. This country, because it was established on biblical principles and freedom, enables us to set people free. God's word says the truth will set you free. But you need freedom of expression and freedom to assemble and all these other freedoms that the founders made sure that established the founding of this country in order to have that free movement of God's word to set people free with the truth. It is a big deal. And I'm always thankful that I am an American and that I was born in the country that was founded and continues to worship the one true God and to be free. When you think about it, this country's only been in existence for less than 250 years.
Yeah.
Seems like a long time, but we've got people who regularly live until 100. So 250 years is only like 2.5 lifetimes ago. And yet it seems like almost like ancient history.
Yeah.
But if we do not do our part, it will not last another 250 years. And I think it is God's will that this country continue to stand for freedom. And speak the truth and set people free. So just keep that in mind that we need to pray for our country, for our leaders. We need to pray that there will always be at least a core of people who believe the truth of God's word in this country so that it continues to be free.
Amen, brother. Thanks, Bob. I want to hand out something that we can look at together. And if you folks on the conference call line, I'm going to share a paper called A Christian's Declaration of Independence. And if you'd like a copy, get in touch with me. I'd be glad to send you a copy of this. But it says the title of this paper is A Christian's Declaration of Independence. And it reads very similar to Lincoln's Declaration of Independence that occurred some nearly 250 years ago. So it reads, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one God to dissolve the spiritual bondage of his people by his Son, Jesus Christ, that they may assume among the powers of the earth the separate and superior station to which the will of God entitles them, a decent respect to God, who dissolved their bondage, requires that they should walk in the light of his word. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all Christians are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable sonship rights, that among these are eternal life, spiritual liberty, and the hope of Christ's return. That to secure these sonship rights, we put on God's word in our minds, deriving our power from what God wrought in Christ. That whenever any form of the old man becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the Christian to abolish and bury it and to institute the new man, which is Christ in you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness from on high places. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God, that when abuses and usurpations evidence a design to reduce us again to bondage, it is our right as sons of God, and it is our duty to throw off such an old man and to put on the Word of God. The history of God of this world is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over Christians. Therefore, we look to the Word of God to provide the true source of our victory over the evil one, and henceforth declare, number one, we shall no more live as members of this world, for we have been sanctified, set apart for heaven by being born again of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Number two, we shall no more confess unrighteousness, for we have the righteousness of God, which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Number three, we shall no more claim the penalty of sin, for we were completely justified when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 3:24. And number four, we shall no more consent to be subservient to Satan, for we have been redeemed from his power, bought with a price. Ephesians 1:7. And finally, number five, and we shall no more back down from speaking the word of God, for we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Wow. So that's the Christian's Declaration of Independence. Yeah. So Heavenly Father, we are very, very honored to know you, to be born again of your Spirit, to be in your family, to have the precious reality of Christ within us, this gift of Holy Spirit that you have endued us with. We are so thankful and grateful that we have your love, your peace, your righteousness. All that Christ is in us. And we are just so full and loaded, Father, because of it. So we are thankful and grateful. And Father, I pray that with this realization of who we are in Christ, we can stand in our time through all the evilness that's around us and rise up above it all to say, thus saith the word of God, to magnify your Son, to bring people to Christ, and to stand on your word until Christ comes back. So thank you, Father, for this high and holy privilege. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.